Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast, the podcast where we cover vampire-related media. We are currently re-watching The Vampire Diaries and dissecting each episode. So today's episode, we will be covering The Vampire Diaries Season 1, Episode 21. It's the penultimate episode, and the episode title is Isabel. Can you believe it? We have made it this far. We are on to the second to the last episode of the season. It's been a long 6 months. And I can't believe that we managed to finally reach this point. Before we even cover the episode, I'm amazed that I managed to last this long because I'm very much a procrastinator and I'm a Gemini, very free-spirited. So I tend to start lots of things but never really finish them. So I'm the type to like have loads of different hobbies and quit a hobby out of nowhere and then start a different one. So for me to have lasted this long, I'm very proud of myself, and I have been enjoying this podcast. It's been a hobby slash passion that I enjoy doing every week. Previous episode, we kind of got the backstory between Damon and Stefan and how they turned into vampires. We also had the very unfortunate sad deaths of Pearl and Harper. And then we were left with that cliffhanger of Isabel saying hi to Alaric. And obviously by the episode title, you know that this episode was very much Isabel-centered. We didn't really get to see much of Isabel's backstory though. It was more of Isabel in the present, stirring things up in Mystic Falls. We just had Mia Kirshner as Isabel for our special guest for this episode. So let's just get right into the plot and talk about what happened. So as I said, we ended with the cliffhanger between Alaric and Isabel, and the start of the episode actually continues on with the very same scene. So basically, Isabel and Alaric are catching up, and Isabel is being extremely cold to Alaric, and I just felt really, really bad for him throughout the whole of this episode because, I mean, afterwards, of course, he found out the truth that she was turned, but he spent so much of a long time thinking that his wife could have been brutally murdered or she was missing. He was grieving her. And even after he found out the fact that she wanted to be a vampire and Damon turned her, of course, he wouldn't be able to shut off those emotions straight away. He still felt some sort of love for her because she was once his wife. And, you know, Isabel is basically just using Alaric to deliver a message to Elena. So she doesn't really want to keep up with a small talk. She gets straight to the point and, you know, wants Alaric to say to Elena that she wants to set up a meeting. I feel that it was very hurtful the way she had to use Alaric as the middleman, because technically if she has this much information, she clearly knew where Elena was. She could have just gone to Elena directly. And, you know, Alaric himself doesn't like being used as the middleman, as a messenger, so he calls her a selfish bitch and he goes and he leaves the grill. He's heading to his car, but of course Isabel, being a vampire, has some skills up her sleeve. So she vamp speeds, she chokes Alaric, and she threatens that she will start killing some of his history students if he doesn't cooperate. Another scene we have is Elaine, I think, was intending to call Stefan, but Damon answers because Stefan is in the shower. And, you know, Damon is complaining about how there's something wrong with Stefan. So Elena is very worried. But then she's relieved when she hears that it's because Stefan is back on the animal blood. He's back to being boring again. And because so much stuff was happening with Isabel, I kind of forgot about this whole plot. But from listening to other rewatch podcasts as well, as I always do, a few made a very interesting point how it was a very drastic change, how we saw Stefan struggling with the human blood, and then all of a sudden from this episode he's back to his brooding, boring self again. So they switched things up pretty quickly, but I think because so much stuff was happening revolving the device and Isabel that we didn't really get to notice it. So Stefan's back to being normal again, and, you know, Elena's talking about how she has to prepare for the Founders Day parade, I think something to do with the float. And, you know, Damon throws in a joke saying, have fun with the Mystic Queen. I know I did. So, of course, he's referring to Caroline. She's Miss Mystic Falls. And the fact that, you know, he had this sort of relationship with her in the beginning. So it feels very much like a throwback to the early episodes. But what is surprising to me is Elena kind of laughs it off and she treats it as a joke as well, whereas before she hated Damon, she couldn't forgive him for how he used Caroline in that way, like as a human blood bag slash slave to do his dirty work. I think because Elaine is starting to really bond with Damon, they're forming this strong friendship. She, you know, if you're really strong friends with someone, you tend, or you have that strong connection with someone, you tend to overlook the bad qualities or bad things that they've done. Stefan comes out the shower. He's shocked to see, you know, Damon on the phone with Elena. And we're headed to the school. So at the school, they're preparing for the Founders Day parade. They have to make floats. So we see Caroline and Bonnie on a table. Caroline is binging last year's float. I think it was a couple of episodes back when Jeremy was binging vampires. We were talking about how they definitely had some kind of partnership where Bing was sponsoring CW or the Vampire Diaries. So Caroline says the image that she wants for her float is very much elegant southern elegance, Gone with the Wind vibes. And I actually enjoy Gone with the Wind, the movie. I think I watched it. It's been such a long time since I watched it, but it's a really good story. More for like the romance side of it, I'd say. And, you know, Bonnie is saying something about how you channel Scarlet vibes, which I did find funny, but I also think it must be awkward for Bonnie to talk about Gone with the Wind and these kind of stories, because, you know, the storyline is very much the Civil War era. And so we have a lot of things going on at the same time. So we have Damon, Alaric, Stefan, and Elena. They're setting up a meeting together, talking about Isabel and how Alaric met Isabel and how Isabel wants to see Elena. And Damon is kind of like asking Alaric all these questions, like, oh, okay, is she teaming up with John Gilbert and blah, blah, blah. And then Alaric doesn't know anything. So he says, I didn't ask, I don't know. And Damon's like, oh, so you didn't, why didn't you ask any questions? And then Alaric makes a good point. He makes a valid point. He said, I'm sorry, I was too distracted by the appearance of my dead vampire wife, which is true, because obviously this was a really unexpected surprise for Alaric. He was not expecting to see Isabel at all. And just seeing her after so many years is an initial shock that, of course, he'd forget to ask any important questions. Elena says to Damon that, you know, Isabel wants to see her. And then Damon's like, you know, you don't have to. And then there's this moment between them. You can kind of tell with the eye contact that Damon really cares for Elena. And you kind of see Stefan looking at the both of them. Like, Stefan definitely knows that something is going on. And the end of the episode, we get a confirmation of this, which we will talk about later on. And then Elena's like, well, I kind of don't have a choice. She's going to go on a killing spree if I don't around the town. And Damon's like, okay, I take it that none of you would like that. So Elena's like, you know, she actually wants to do this. She wants to see her mother. She doesn't want to regret it, which is true because, you know, Elena, of course, lived her whole life thinking that she had her parents. She didn't know she was adopted. She faces a tragic accident during the summer. Her parents both die in a car accident, and then afterwards she finds out that she was actually adopted. Losing her parents was obviously a huge grief and continues to be so, but the thought of having the chance of having another family member in her life, a birth mother, she obviously wanted a chance to see her. And that's why I felt really bad for Elena. We even see her cry later on, because she was holding on to this hope only to see how cold and uncaring her birth mother is. There's some music playing. We see a foreclosure sign. There's this really extravagant mansion that we see. Really my type. You know, I actually, like, you know, I mean, from this podcast, you know that I'm obsessed with the Vampire Diaries. And even though it's probably not exactly the most convenient location to live in, for some reason, I just have this dream of moving to Covington, Georgia, where Vampire Diaries was filmed, because I've seen fans that actually live there, and I'm so, so jealous. I look up the mansions on Zillow, and yeah, it's one day a dream to be living there, and especially it feels so cheap, the real estate there, because if you didn't know, I currently live in the state of Hawaii, which is one of the most expensive states in the US. So the real estate prices are crazy, and seeing these big houses having the equivalent price of like a studio one bedroom condo in Hawaii. It's crazy. And I haven't even visited Covington, but I just have this obsession of like going onto Zillow and seeing all the properties. But anyways, this property is where Isabel is residing currently. We have this man in sunglasses and a leather jacket drive up to the mansion, and it is John Gilbert. He's not looking like himself. You know, the sunglasses, leather jacket vibe very much gives me vampire vibes. But anyways, he's gone to see Isabel. We see Isabel with one guy and one girl. And at first I thought they were like vampire minions, but it turns out they're just humans that she is compelling. The guy was gay, but now he's not, from her compulsion. And you can see that John really disapproves of her lifestyle, but here it is revealed that they have a mutual goal, and that is of getting the Gilbert device. So Elena is at the grill. She's ready to meet Isabel, and you can see Stefan in the background. They're kind of like, she's kind of like whispering to him because he can vamp here. It gives me Anna and Jeremy vibes before the grill, when they were trying to like hide the fact that they were talking to each other from Pearl. I mean, yes, if this was just like a human meeting setting, Stefan being there wouldn't be a problem, but obviously if Stefan can vamp hear her whispering, it obviously means that Isabel would be able to as well. So obviously later on, you know, Isabel clearly knows that Stefan is there in the background. And the first words that Isabel says to Elena, it isn't anything to do with it's good to see you or that anything to do with her, you know, being happy to see her daughter. It's basically, you look like her. It's eerie. And she's like, she's like, Catherine would be intrigued by the similarity in appearance. So from that initial saying, like, you kind of get the impression that, okay, she's not really here to see her daughter because she cares about her. She's only here for her own benefits, her own mission. She was talking about how Catherine found Isabel when she first turned, and Catherine was the one that gave her her daylight necklace. So she has this really big statement necklace as a daylight protection. It really seems like Catherine has connections, and also it does seem like it would be better, you would benefit a lot on being Catherine's side, because she has connections with witches as well. She can get you those daylight rings or necklaces. She can give you lots of information. But at the same time, you probably used to go on missions for her. And, you know, Elena's obviously curious about, okay, so if you're my birth mom, who is my birth dad? And then Isabel references John Gilbert as just a teenage waste of space. So I really feel like, I mean, we see this at the end of the episode as well, but I mean, we see this at the end of the episode as well, but I really feel as if Isabel doesn't have any romantic feelings towards John Gilbert whatsoever. She may still have feelings for Alaric, but when it comes to John, it was literally how she references to him here, a teenage waste of space. Those are her true words, I think. Whereas John, I think, even though he obviously disapproves of her vampire self, her lifestyle, he obviously really fell in love with Isabel when she was younger, I think. And I think he still kind of holds a soft spot for her. So Isabel says that she knows that Stefan is there. And then she's like, why didn't you go for Damon? Or do you enjoy the both of them like Catherine did? And it's just really, it grosses me out to think that, you know, Isabel, I mean, later on, she also reveals that Damon is in love with her, but it grosses me out that, you know, she slept with Damon, and then she's okay with the fact that Damon could potentially be in love with her daughter, and then Damon and Stefan were both with Catherine. They're all related. It is weird when you think about it. So we have Alaric and Damon waiting outside the grill. They're really anxious to see what's going on. And, you know, Alaric was like, I tried to see something, you know, resemblance of my wife, but there was nothing there. And then Damon says that Isabel gave up. And then Damon says that Isabel gave up her humanity. He explains the whole concept of, it's basically like a switch. You can just turn it off and you don't feel anything. I mean, we've talked about this humanity switch concept for a few episodes now. So supposedly Isabel has her humanity off. But from the end of the episode, I think that's questionable, and I will talk about that more in depth when we get to that point. But Alaric says that he's still, you know, Alaric says that Stefan's nice, he still sees some humanity in Damon. But so, yeah, he's just confused as to why Isabel would do that. And Damon tries to act cool and deny the fact that his humanity is on. He says, of course mine is off. I wouldn't be so fun to be around. But it's clear, like, we know by now, like, the way he cares for Elena as well, and the way he was pining over Catherine, you know, if he didn't have his humanity on, he wouldn't have, like, spent this long searching for her. So it's clear that Damon does, in fact, have his humanity on. I think he's just good at separating the guilt, so he can function normally, basically. He shuts it at the back of his mind, and he did say that to Stefan in the end of the previous episode, how if he wants to feel it, it's there. So he hasn't switched his whole humanity off, he just pushes the bad feelings, the guilt, away. So continuing on with Isabel and Elena, Isabel mentions that she learned about vampires from John Gilbert and that he had a crush on her, and now they both want the invention. And Isabel basically leaves, and Elena is crying. She's upset because that was the first meeting with her birth mother, and for her to be so cold and to not even ask anything to do with Elena's childhood, how she's been, just here to get this device and to taunt her about her similarities to Catherine. Understandably, she's very upset. And she stands up and we see Bonnie and they kind of stop for a moment. I think Bonnie wants to approach Elena because she's crying, but then she sees Stefan approach in the background and Bonnie just runs off. So back at the Gilbert house, Jeremy is trying to contact Anna. He's not been able to reach her for a while. John walks in and he's being nosy again. He's trying to get information and he's saying, oh, that's the girl that you're with at the pageant. And then John says, how well do you know Anna? Because he thinks that Jeremy doesn't know anything. But then Jeremy's like, I know Anna extremely well, which he does. He knows the secret. Next, Damon is on a mission, so he's found Isabel's residence. So he's at the foreclosure mansion. So Isabel spots him, and Damon says he looked up the most expensive bank-owned foreclosures and knew he would find it here. And then Isabel is like, "Well, I learned that from you." And I very much think that Isabel does kind of channel some Damon vibes, like the way she's carefree, she's living the vampire life at its best. And so they're kind of like talking and flirting together, but they're each trying to get information. And Isabel said that John and her dated briefly when she was young. She doesn't say that she dated John to Elena because she probably doesn't want Elena to find out the fact that he is her dad. But she kind of like spills things unintentionally, I think, to Damon. I think it's a way to kind of like make him jealous, to see, like, to show that she has so many suitors. And Isabel is saying that Catherine wants John to have the device, which is really weird. It's really weird for if you're a first-time watcher. Like, why would Catherine want John to have this vampire-destroying device? And what connection is that? And when I was watching this episode for this podcast, I watched the episode twice each time. First time watching, I was kind of confused. But then second time, brushing up my memory, and I remember in season two, we get to find out why Catherine wants these tomb vampires dead. And it's a very selfish reason, but it also ties up really well with the storyline, which we will have to just look forward to when we reach that point. But anyways, Damon and Isabel start making out, and I think Damon is doing this to kind of like make Isabel think that they're on each other's side. But then Damon pushes Isabel, threatens her, and says, you know, going for Elena was a bad move. If Catherine wants something, you can tell the little bitch to come get it herself. In this dialogue, it's pretty clear that Damon is over Catherine. You know, he knows, he's realized how selfish she was, how she was just using him for her own good. And he's clearly into Elena now. So, yeah. Here, just recalling what I said earlier, it's weird how he's been with Catherine, he's been with Isabel, and now he's out for Elena. So anyways, talking about Elena, it's the next day and Bonnie has gone to visit the Gilbert residence. She's gone to see Elena. She apologizes for running off after seeing Stefan. They kind of like rekindle their friendship. They kind of make up, and Elena here reveals that she had met her birth mom. More float prep, and Tyler goes to chat to Matt obviously Tyler and Matt are still on the outs because of Tyler making out with Kelly, aka Matt's mom. And he's just, you know, trying to give casual conversation, saying that Caroline tells me that you've been alone. How have you been doing? And then Matt takes it the wrong way and is saying, oh, so you're asking about my mom again. And I do kind of feel that Matt should just forgive Tyler, because I get it. Tyler's a douchebag. Especially season one, he has been a douchebag, but later seasons, that's not the case, in my opinion. And I do think that, yes, Tyler was in the wrong, but at the same time, if it's Tyler and Kelly, the one that's mostly in the wrong is always going to be the grown-up, the adult, because she was the one that was making out with an underage minor, a teenage boy. I think that deep down Matt knows it's his mom that was mostly in the wrong, that was taking advantage of the situation, but at the same time, he doesn't want to admit it. And another reason is his mom's gone now, so he doesn't have anyone to lash out on, so it's just easier for him to use Tyler as kind of like a punching bag. Anyways, meanwhile, Bonnie brings a spellbook to Elena, because obviously they're on good terms now, and really, really funny revelation is John Gilbert never invented anything. In fact, it was actually Emily who had spelled all of these inventions, but John didn't notice, and he thought that he was this amazing scientist slash inventor. But yeah, it was actually Emily doing all of his work. So even this device, Emily was the one who did it. So Emily was loyal to Catherine because Catherine saved her once, but that didn't mean that she liked vampires. And we see that in flashback scenes as well. She says that when Stefan turns, how, you know, she's loyal to Catherine, but she would never wish that curse on anyone. It doesn't mean that just because she's loyal to Catherine doesn't mean she likes her nature, her vampire nature. And if it came down to vampires and humans, she would always protect humans. So here, Bonnie's like, are you sure that they want this device? Because the device is a weapon that can be used against vampires. Back outside, I think it's like outside on the school grounds, Jeremy approaches Elena asking if she knows about Anna, if she's heard any news, seen her. And Elena says no, because truly, like, Elena and Anna have literally had no interaction since Tomb. So she's, in this one case scenario, she's not lying. But Jeremy's like, I know that you know. And this phrase is often used. I think it was used in like a previous episode as well. It's used when the other knows about vampires. It's like, I know that you know. So now Elena knows that Jeremy knows about vampires. Obviously not on good terms there. And Isabel appears out of nowhere, and she uses the mother card. She says, oh, I'm your mother, so I want to see what you're doing. And she basically gives a brief description of the main gang in Mystic Falls. There's Bonnie, the witchy best friend. Better stay away from that one, because obviously witches can use magic against vampires. Then she says, sad little brother, Jeremy. Then she says, obnoxious Caroline. By the way, I got all my information from her. So when I first watched it, I was confused because obviously Caroline was given that Vervain jewelry by Elena in a few episodes back. But then I kind of realized Caroline's personality-wise, she's the type to kind of like slip up and start talking. So Isabel probably didn't need to compel her. She just asked Caroline, you know, to describe who's who in the high school, and she probably just blurted it out and said everything. Then she points to Matt. So Isabel points to Matt and says, and there's the ex-boyfriend, Matt, soon to be Yappy's ex. You know, the dry sarcastic comments she gives, she literally just doesn't care at all. And she threatens Elena by getting Matt hurt. So the float falls on Matt or something, and then all of the guys gather around and try to lift it up, but they obviously don't have enough strength. And then Stefan comes, pretends to act like he's struggling, and they manage to lift it up. And Jeremy has also disappeared out of nowhere and is being used for leverage. So this is, I think, the first time that we see Matt being used as sort of like leverage or blackmail, but This is another recurring theme. So we have recurring themes for each character. Recurring theme for Bonnie is she's used for spells when it's convenient. She's used by the vampires. Another recurring theme is Matt being used as leverage, because Matt is just this average human boy. He doesn't have a clue about vampires, so he's often used. So yeah, he's often used, but he's one of those type of characters that just always manages to survive. So John has gone to see Isabel again, only to find that Jeremy has been kidnapped. And obviously, okay, he says that this is crossing the line. That's his nephew. And he tries to sweet talk Isabel and is like, I know you've changed, but the old Isabel must be somewhere there. The old Isabel is somewhere in there still. So by the way he says this, I can just tell that John still definitely has a soft spot for Isabel. He still has feelings for her. But unfortunately, Isabel is long gone. She gets the two minions to beat him up, and Isabel takes his Gilbert ring off. So now he has no protection from being killed. So meanwhile, Elena has gone to ask for the device from Damon, and she's saying that Bonnie can remove the original spell from the device so it won't be harmful to vampires anymore. And Damon, first of all, he's like, okay, look, I don't even know if you have those witchy skills. Like, he said that Emily was the real deal, but what about you? So then Bonnie performs this book spell where Damon names a book and she gets it for him. And it's very much Harry Potter vibes. Compared to the spells we see in the later seasons, this is very much childish spell vibes. Like, this is like PG-13 vibe spells, because the spells we see as we progress through the series are very more powerful, and they use up a lot of her strength. And then the second point that Damon has is, I don't trust you, I try to kill you, which is right. Like, Damon shouldn't trust her. And then even Bonnie admits, like, yeah, you shouldn't trust me. But then Elena is like, but you can trust me. And then Damon, obviously having that connection with Elena, trusts her and hands her the device. We're reaching the last 15 minutes of the episode. So John and Jeremy are talking. John reveals that there's this device that's going to destroy vampires. And he reveals that there's two vampires that are wanting revenge on the town. But then Jeremy is saying that that's not true. Like, not all vampires are bad. There's also good vampires. And, you know, John is saying that his dad wouldn't agree with the way he's thinking. And his dad was the one that taught him about the town history. So I think John is the younger brother. I'm not sure how the age difference is, but John is the younger brother. And so his older brother, Grayson Gilbert, passed down the information to him. And John is like, you know, your father would want you to know about this. Meanwhile, Bonnie does the quotation marks spell to remove the original spell from the device, which of course we find out at the end of the episode was probably just some fake magic. So she just said some random words, made some random things explode, and then obviously no one's going to find out that she didn't remove the spell, because they don't have any knowledge. They don't know what she's doing. So there's a meeting at the town square to exchange the device. You know, Isabel says something like, do you really think that I came alone? And then Lena's like, do you really think that I came alone? And we have the two Salvatore brothers at her rescue. And I think we've seen it since the Decade Dance, I think, in episode 12. But I did mention how I love the trio. I love Elena, Damon, and Stefan, like the trio, like the both the brothers always coming to her rescue. It's very much a prominent theme that we have for, like, I'd say until like season 4, maybe. Yeah, season 1, 2, 3, 4, the trio is, it's the main part of the show. And, well, obviously, I mean, they are the main characters, but I mean, like, it's the main trio. To be honest, if something was to happen, you know, Damon and Stefan are like 150-year-old vampires, they would clearly be stronger than the two minions that Isabel has compelled, because at the end of the day, they're just humans. So anyways, Elaine is like, you know, I won't give you the device until I know that Jeremy is safe. So where is Jeremy? And then Isabel's like, oh, for goodness sake, just call home. So Elena calls home. Jenna is there taking care of John, saying that John hit himself or something or tripped. And John and Jeremy kind of have this knowing look between them, so they're keeping the secret together. Jeremy hasn't been compelled in this occasion. He knows what happened. Elena's like, well, you took a risk with Damon. Like, how would you know that he would hand over the device? And then Isabel drops a bombshell. She says it's because he's in love with you. And it's really, really awkward. It's awkward for Damon. It's awkward for Stefan. And it's awkward for Elena. And the last words that Isabel says to Elena is, as long as you have a Salvatore on each arm, you're doomed. Catherine was smart. She got out of it. But we all know that you're not Catherine. So I think that this can be taken in different ways. Like, she says that you're not Catherine. It's kind of like a way to taunt her, but at the same time, it's a good thing that she's not like Catherine because it means that she has compassion and humanity and she's not manipulative. When she says, as long as you have each Salvatore on your arm, you're doomed, I kind of think that, yes, from the Salvatore's coming into her life, she's been in contact with vampires and it's put her in danger, like having this knowledge. But at the same time, from what we find out in season two, it's clear that, you know, some people would be after Elena. Or we've seen this in, like, you know, the Decade Dance episode, how Elena's resemblance to Catherine is really what puts her in danger. Like, being Catherine's doppelganger is a danger. And we kind of find out more about this in season two. So actually, once you find out the events, the main plot of season two, it's actually good to think that Damon and Stefan are there to protect her. Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened. So yeah, oh my gosh, I'm just really excited to, like, start talking about the season two plot. Like, we're really, really close to it. So Isabel has gone and Stefan and Elena hug. It's really awkward for Damon. He obviously knows that it's not his place to be, so he walks off. And we're on to the very last few minutes of the episode. Lots of revelations here. So first we have a revelation at the Gilbert house. So Jeremy reveals to Elena that he read her journal. He knows that she got Damon to compel his memories of Vicky away. Then we have Isabel go to see Alaric. And, you know, Alaric's giving it his last shot. He gives his ring and Vivain to Isabel. He's like, either kill me or compel me. So Isabel here says that she will regret this decision forever. It was her mistake. She compels Alaric to basically move on from her. And in this scene, I see humanity in her. I see that she regrets being a vampire. And I don't think that humanity is off, because some other people have this theory that, you know, she had her humanity off in the earlier parts of the episode, but for this scene, she turned it back on again. But it's not the case. From watching the whole series, I, for one, know that the humanity switch is not something you can just turn on and off anytime. Like, Damon makes it sound like you can turn it off easily. It's true. Turning it off is the easy part. Like, you can just turn it off in a heartbeat. But turning it on is really difficult, because once you're that far gone, you don't have a care in the world, why would you feel the need to put it back on, right? It just wouldn't make sense. You have the need to turn it off because you want to escape from the feelings or the guilt. But if you're leading a carefree life, not caring about anyone, not carrying any emotions, unless there's a certain trigger, I don't think that a vampire would just be able to turn it back on easily. So therefore, my theory is that her humanity was never off. I think that it's kind of like a defense mechanism. I mean, even Damon does it too. Like, he acts like he's cool and doesn't have a care in the world, but deep down he has emotions. So I think it's just a case where both Damon and Isabel are good at concealing their real emotions. They put up a hard shell, but deep down they have hurt, regret, guilt. So Isabel regrets her decision, but she doesn't just want to be moping around. She's prideful as well, I think, so she wants to show that she's just having this carefree vampire life, but deep down she misses what she had with Alaric. So therefore, my theory is her humanity is on. So she gives Alaric back the ring and she disappears. Let's see. Okay, so we have four more scenes left. So a lot happens in the last few minutes of the episode. This tends to happen a lot in the Vampire Diaries, where lots of things happen between all the characters at the end. So Anna appears in Jeremy's bedroom crying. She's saying that her mom is dead. She's all alone. She knows that she shouldn't be here, but she didn't know where to go, which is very much true. Like, the Gilbert residence is the last place she should be in, but at the same time, Jeremy is the only friend that she has. Which leads me to think, you know, what did she do these past 150 plus years? She must have been all alone this long. And then Damon and Stefan have a scene together. So Stefan says history will not be repeating itself when it comes to Elena, because obviously he doesn't want this love triangle developing again. And Damon doesn't really deny the fact that he doesn't, if he really didn't have any feelings for Elena, he would try to reassure his brother, but he doesn't. He doesn't technically deny that it might happen. But Damon thinks of an interesting theory. He says, am I the only one that can add things together? So Damon has figured out that John is Elena's dad. And then Damon says, because you two are always honest with each other, you can be the one to reveal this truth to her. And then when she needs a friend, I will be there. So then we have a phone call between Isabel and John. Isabel says that the Gilbert ring is back at his doorstep, and she says that Catherine wants all the tomb vampires dead, but she wants to add another two to that list. And John is like, you don't even need to tell me. It's Stefan and Damon. I already added them. And here, Isabel says, she's our daughter. I don't want this life for her. Damon obviously had that theory in the one scene earlier, but here it's confirmed that Isabel and John are the parents, the birth parents of Elena. So it's just, if you're a first time watcher, it's probably really confusing as to why Catherine would want these vampires dead, why Isabel and John have this connection with Catherine. But season two, all of this is basically, the puzzle is basically revealed. So you just have to keep watching to find out. And then the very, very last scene, we are left with a cliffhanger. Caroline and Bonnie are talking. I think it was at the grill. I mean, probably at the grill. Bonnie talks about how she didn't remove the spell. I mean, we know she's referencing the spell on the device, but of course she says it to Caroline in a way like, I told Elena I'd do something, but I didn't actually do it. And Caroline, poor Caroline, she's just so confused. She doesn't know what she is talking about because she doesn't know about the supernatural world yet. But that's where the episode ends. It's where we find out that the device hasn't been removed of its original spell, and now it's in the hands of John. So that is the end of today's episode. Wow, the ending especially was really, really good. So IMDb ranked this 8.4 out of 10, so it was slightly higher than the previous episode. And from what I was seeing from the comments on the reviews, it really seems that everyone seemed to enjoy Isabel for this episode. And there wasn't that many trivia facts. I'd say the only two trivia facts, or the big revelation, is that John Gilbert is Elena's father. And secondly, you know, Catherine, we find out that Catherine is the one that's really wanting this device. And as I said, we will find out this reason in season two. So overall, my thoughts on this episode, I enjoyed this episode. I felt it was really leading us up to the finale. So it wasn't like a lot happened in this episode. It was more about leading us to this whole plot of the device, which we will see in the next episode. My thoughts on Isabel is I enjoyed her as well for the episode. Because Isabel is so popular, I'm just going to reveal it here, but we will get to see more Isabel in season two, actually. She does make another appearance. That is all I will say. But I have to admit that something about Isabel's tone, it's very flat, her acting. I don't know if her acting's always like that, or if it's just the Vampire Diaries, but she has this very flat tone to her voice. But yeah, I think it was good to finally get to see her. I mean, we were kind of expecting this to happen because she was a vampire and she wasn't dead. And as I said earlier, my theory is that humanity has been on the whole time. And talking about humanity, we really got to see Damon's humanity in this episode and how he cares for and loves Elena. And I think we got to see another side to John Gilbert. So obviously, he's completely against vampires. He stakes them without even thinking twice. But at the same time, you can see that he really cares about, when it comes to blood relatives, he really cares about them and he is really protective. And for this episode, I really felt bad for Elena, Alaric, and Anna. So Elena, you know, being really disappointed and seeing her birth mom for the first time and just seeing that she doesn't care about her. Same for Alaric, you know, searching for his presumably dead wife for so long. only to, you know, receive the treatment that he did. I felt really bad for him, and I don't know, I can't remember if he really had Vervain on him. You know, he gives the Vervain to Isabel when Isabel compels him, but maybe he drank Vervain. Like, I can't remember if from this episode, like, he moves on from Isabel because she compelled him to. We'll just have to see in future episodes. And then, of course, Anna, we only got that really short appearance from her at the end, but it was really, really sad to see her in tears because her mom was gone. So it's really interesting as to, you know, whose side would Jeremy take, because he kind of has this, like, I mean, John kind of revealed to him about the vampires and how his family, his dad would want him to know this knowledge, and he saw in firsthand how Isabel, like, was to them. So it makes you really curious as to which side Jeremy is going to take. Is he going to take Anna's side because he loves her? Or is he going to take his family's side? And also, now we know that the device, the spell hasn't even been removed, how is the device going to be used? So obviously we will get to see that in the finale episode, which will be next Sunday. So for characters I'm turning and staking, characters I'm turning are Damon, Elena, and Alaric. So Alaric, I just felt really bad for the poor guy, so I'm going to turn him. Elena as well, I felt really, really bad for her. And then for Damon, I guess, again, because I'm a Delana shipper, just having the revelation that Damon is in love with her, it just made me happy because the love triangle plot is really developing at a quick pace in these later episodes. So those are the three characters I'm turning. Character I'm staking, maybe slightly an unpopular opinion, but I'm staking Bonnie, even though I understand the reasons as to why she didn't reverse the spell. I just would have preferred it if she would have been straight up honest and said to Elena, you know, I can't do this. I can't reverse the spell. Sorry, I'm not going to help you. The fact that she lied about it, and because of that, there's consequences in the next episode. She's the character that I will be staking. So for music, I have three songs that I enjoyed. So the first song was Sing by Sounds Under Radio. Second was Giving Up the Gun by Vampire Weekend. And third was Ain't No Rest for the Wicked by Cage the Elephant. But I would say that these aren't really epic songs. They were songs that I enjoyed for this episode, but in my overall, like, countdown of favorite songs, they wouldn't be included. So that is the end of the penultimate episode, episode 21. I'm really, really looking forward to covering the finale with you guys next Sunday. I actually already watched the finale just earlier while eating lunch, and it was a really, really good episode. Really enjoyed it. So I can't wait to talk about it with you guys next weekend. So before we end this podcast, don't forget to save this podcast. Please spread this podcast to any other Vampire Diaries or Vampire Media fans. Also, really, really appreciate it if you give me a review if you're on Apple or Spotify podcasts. It really helps the algorithm. And my Q&A of this episode will be, do you think Isabel has her humanity on or off? Because it's something that kind of be debatable. Some people think that she just switches it on and off easily. Or are you like me and you think that she had it on the whole time? So, and then second question is, at this point, so if you're a rewatcher, I just want you to answer it from this current point in the timeline of the series. Do you think at this point Damon has really fallen for Elena, or he still has feelings for Catherine? So those are my two questions. If you're on Spotify, you can answer them in the Q&A section. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can just give me the answer through a review or through my podcast Instagram, which is at The Mystic Podcast. So that is all for today. I will see you all next Sunday, where we will be covering the finale of season 1, The Vampire Diaries.